Noah and Kate, Chapter 18. When Kate and Paige arrived at the senior center 2 nights later, Kate wasn't sure what she might find behind the double doors to the activity room. They were a little late, thanks to a last-minute customer at Lizzie and Fitz, but Kate wasn't even sure it would matter. The hallway outside was so quiet, hushed by thick carpeting and a feeling of sedate gentility, that they both wondered if anyone had turned up for Noah's CPR class at all. But when Paige eased open one of the doors to peek inside, a blast of chatter and burbling activity assaulted them. The room was large and brightly lit, folding chairs and tables pushed aside to make room for a collection of puffy blue mats scattered around the floor. 9 senior ladies kneeled or sat at each mat, some wearing gardening hats, some dressed up like they were going to a dance. Before each of them, a pale, armless torso lay face up on the mat, eyes staring glassily towards the ceiling, mouth slightly open, as if surprised to find itself in this position. The lone man in the group was Bill Peterson, who sat on a folding chair, his arms crossed over his chest, a defiant gleam in his eye. But it was the lineup of firefighters at the front of the room that really got Kate's attention. Paige put her hand on Kate's arm as soon as her eyes fell on them, and they both stared. 4 hunky guys in dark blue uniforms, all tanned biceps and tight butts, gathered in casual conversation as Noah and Emma went over something on a clipboard together. Callum was there too, his light brown deputy's uniform setting him apart from the boys in blue.
"Oh my God, this is like first responders' night at the male strip club," Paige breathed out as she pulled Kate over towards the group.
Kate laughed. "You've been going to male strip clubs without me?"
"Hi, guys," Paige said brightly, and all the hunky faces turned to her with broad grins. "I hope we're not too late."
"Just getting started," Callum said, his face suffused with pleasure. Standing next to the beefcake selection, he looked smaller and leaner, but somehow more attractive for the contrast. And the delight on his face at seeing Paige didn't hurt either. When he smiled his Paige smile, he was one of the handsomest men Kate had ever seen.
"Hey guys, glad you could make it," Noah said, joining the group.
And now it was Kate's turn to flush with pleasure, enjoying the sight of him in his uniform, as she always did. There was just something about the neatness of it. The belt cinched around his trim waist, the sharp lines of his pants, the clean cut of his shirt. It suited his body perfectly, giving only little hints as to the mayhem of sexiness underneath all that cool control.
"Is there anyone left at the station?" Paige laughed, gesturing to the firefighters. "Looks like you recruited everyone for this."
"Most of us are on call, don't worry," Noah said, and the medic beside him twisted slightly to reveal the radio clip to his belt.
"And some of the guys, like Ben and Sean here, are from the Dunmore station. They volunteered to come over and help out."
"Well, I don't think I've ever seen so many gorgeous men gathered in one place," Paige gushed. Somehow it came out more charming than cheesy. "Oh, to be so pretty, so easily flirtatious," thought Kate. If only she could float some coquettish hint at Noah with such charming confidence.
"Yeah, I don't really belong here," Callum laughed. "Maybe I have the wrong room."
"Of course you belong here. You're sexy as hell," Paige said. She started then, as if just realizing what had come out of her mouth, and Kate could feel her tensing up. Everyone could feel it. Everyone who knew how much Callum had been pining for Paige since high school, which was pretty much everyone in the room. All eyes turned to Callum, whose face went from a happy glow to bright pink, his eyes wide with amazement. Then everyone turned to look at Paige, who had, by contrast, gone pale.
"I mean, you know," she stammered, laughing it off.
"Men in uniform, yada yada." Nice save, thought Kate, wishing her friend would just stop fighting her attraction to Callum and take him up on his obvious standing offer of adoring boyfriend.
"Well, should we get started?"
Noah announced, his voice rising so he could be heard above the chatter. He clapped his hands together and rubbed them like he was about to dig into a meal,
Everyone, you'll be paired up with one of our firefighters, or me, Emma, or Deputy Barnes. He gestured to his partner and his friend on either side of him. So make sure you all have a dummy and some plastic bags. Conversation burbled again as Emma, Callum, and the firefighters joined the ladies, and everyone assessed the dummies before them, some turning them over on their stomachs, some already beginning to blow air in their mouths. Kate had assumed she and Paige would partner up, but really, what a naive assumption that had been. Paige was off in a flash, grabbing a mat and a firefighter, and setting up at the end of a row. "We're a few short, so will you be float, Sean?" Noah called out, and the guy who had kneeled down beside Paige nodded. "Great. Okay, ladies, if I can have your attention. Tonight, we're just going to cover one-person CPR on an adult. Okay, so let me go over the basics." Kate glanced around, gratified to see nine faces blinking at him, waiting for him to impart the secret to saving lives. Even Bill Peterson looked mildly interested. "All right, let's start with the basic scenario. Let's imagine you're out for a walk and you come across our friend here. What's the very first thing you need to do?" "Check if he's dead," someone called out. "Call 911," said another. "Start CPR." Mrs. Heath cupped her hand around her mouth and called out. Noah smiled and lifted his chin to speak above the suggestions. "Scene safety. Number one priority. Before you approach anyone, make sure the area is safe. You don't want to become casualty number two." Murmurs of agreement greeted this, and Noah nodded. "Especially if you didn't see what happened. People have been overcome, running into a garage full of carbon monoxide without thinking, or been electrocuted because they didn't see the live wire on the ground. So always make sure it's safe for you first." One of the ladies was taking notes in a pink fake fur notebook with a pink feathered pen. "Now, even if they appear unconscious, you want to try to talk to the person. Get down beside their ear and try to wake them. Don't touch them at this point, but see if they respond to your voice."
"What if they're deaf?" someone called out. "Can we shake them?"
"Tap the ground beside their head, on either side," Noah demonstrated. "If they're conscious or just asleep, they'll feel the vibration." The group began practicing this new nugget of information, hitting the ground around their dummies' heads, or, as Kate might have expected, shouting at the dummies. She wished she had her phone with her. This definitely should be going on YouTube. Okay, so you've got no response. What do you do next?" Noah called out, strolling over and crouching down beside two ladies who had decided to turn their dummy over on its front. Kate watched him as he conversed with them, casually turning the dummy back over, patting one lady on the shoulder encouragingly before flashing that heart-melting smile and returning to the front of the room.
"Start CPR,"
Mrs. Heath tried again. "Check for breathing and pulse," Noah said. "Easiest way is to put two fingers right here." He tilted his head up and to the side, exposing the long column of his neck, and put two fingers at the base of his throat. "Leave your fingers there for at least 10 seconds. There might be a very slow or faint heartbeat." Everyone put their fingers to their own necks, and Kate played along, feeling her own pulse, quickened as always by Noah's very presence, and by the strong lines of his neck and those gorgeous fingers pressing against it. Fingers that had pressed against something else pretty recently. She flushed with heat and tried to shake the shower memory away. "At this point, if you have a phone with you or can get the attention of another bystander, call 911, Noah said. "Can anyone tell me what you should say to the operator?" "I found a dead body," said Mrs. J. She looked around for support, nodding at the other ladies. She turned back to Noah, eyebrows raised. "Right?" "Casualty," Noah corrected. "Don't call someone a dead body, especially if they might still be able to hear you. Saying adult male or female is even better, but if you find yourself saying victim or patient or body..." "How about stiff?" Bill said, and everyone laughed. "Say casualty instead."
"I won't be able to remember that,"
Mrs. J huffed. "Can't I just say I got a dead guy here?" "Please don't," Noah laughed and shook his head. "Dispatch just needs to know what you've got and where it is, so they know which service to send."
"So we say I need an ambulance at 400 Main Street. I found a stiff. What's wrong with that?"
she challenged. Noah laughed. "Maybe he ain't dead," Bill Peterson said.
What are you, a doctor? You don't know he's dead. Dead is dead, Bill. You don't need a medical degree to know a stiff when you see it.
Okay, okay, everyone. Noah lifted his hands up and spoke loud enough to silence the room. He couldn't hide his smile, and it brightened his face.
Look, the point is, it will really help the 911 operator if you give them simple details they can use without having to ask you a dozen questions. So what you want to say is, for example, I need an ambulance for...
Or police, someone quipped. Maybe the stiff was murdered.
The whole room laughed, and Callum tipped a salute at the woman who suggested it. Noah lowered his head, trying to hide a laugh of his own. He glanced over at Kate and winked at her, which did all sorts of things to her pulse. Wild things. Things that would make any rescuer of hers tell the 911 people she had a brass band in her chest.
You say, for example, Noah continued, I need an ambulance at such and such address for an unresponsive adult male.
Sounds like my first husband,
another voice laughed, and everyone howled. There was no getting the room back now, Kate thought, looking around at all the bright, laughing faces. They were enjoying themselves too much now to be wrangled back into paying attention, and were even starting to play with their dummies again. A lady in a bright floral blouse that just screamed Miami cruise wear beckoned Sean to join her, and in a second he was up on his feet, in that effortlessly graceful way fit people had, leaving Paige alone. Kate thought about partnering up with her for a moment, until she saw Callum ambling over towards Paige, all casual-like, not wanting to show just how eager he was to take Sean's place. Kate smiled and stayed put, wondering if love might blossom over an armless plastic torso. Maybe she should start her own dating site, she mused, looking around the room and seeing Emma and Ben the firefighter with their heads together over the dummy, smiling and laughing with each other. Emma touched his arm in a playful way, and Ben looked completely smitten. Even Mrs. J and Bill Peterson had paired up, Bill having deigned to leave his chair and join her on the floor. They were arguing about something, scowls of indignation on both their faces. Maybe she could make it a combo CPR class slash blind date. She could call it Heartthrobs, and the logo could be a little heart in the middle of an EKG tracing.
Can you show us the paddles?
A voice sang out, and murmurs of agreement burbled up around the room.
I've always wanted to do that, say clear and all that.
We'll get to that, Noah said, but we have to learn this part first. You may not have an AED around. You need to be able to do this properly until help arrives.
AED? Isn't that a bomb? Someone said. That's IED. So what's an AED?
Someone else piped up.
It's a defibrillator. It's defribble, Joanne, not defibble. Defribble-ator. I saw it on ER. I think it's defibrillator, Mrs. Heath put in.
It's defibrillator, Noah said, saying each part slowly.
But it doesn't matter. The point is it true you can use a car battery to zap him?
Kate put her hands over her face to keep from laughing. The evening went on, Noah heroically trying to lead the group through the basics of CPR. Kate had done the training about 20 times at work, sometimes even teaching a class or two in her role as health and safety officer, but she'd never experienced a class like this. She had a feeling Noah never had either. But the sense of fun in the room was palpable, and Kate found herself just letting her gaze roam around the room a few times, taking in the animated faces, the serious expressions, the heads bent together in joint efforts to bring their dummy back to life. Even when Sean came and knelt by her to check on her progress, she found it hard to pull her eyes away.
Hi there, Sean said, a bright smile on his face. I don't think we've met. I'm Sean.
Kate, she replied. Nice to meet you.
I couldn't help but notice you weren't exactly in the same age group as the others.
He leaned in conspiratorially.
Unless you look really, really good for your age.
No, I'm friends with Paige and Noah, she laughed. I'm just here for some moral support.
Ah, he nodded, and looked like he wanted to find something else to say. After an awkward moment that started veering towards discomfort, he looked back at her.
So, have you done CPR training before?
Many times. She rolled her eyes a little. I was in charge of our annual first aid certifications at my former job. Sometimes the instructor just didn't show up, so it was on me.
Oh, so you're a pro, he said expansively.
He looked around at the group and nodded slowly.
This is a really good idea, though. You can see just how little most people know about this stuff, even just the basics.
Yeah, it was Mrs. J's idea. She's the one arguing over there with the older gentleman.
Kate pointed, and Sean laughed as Mrs. J jabbed her forefinger forcefully at her dummy several times, her upper arms jiggling from the effort. She was obviously trying to make some point with Bill, something that required a bit of visual emphasis.
Yeah, she pretty much voluntold Noah to run a class for her book club.
Fantastic.
Sean shook his head in admiration.
I think it's great.
And thank you for volunteering, Kate added warmly, noticing for the first time what a nice smile he had. He was big and solid, like many paramedics, but somehow his presence was reassuring rather than intimidating. He had a neatly trimmed beard that suited his face, and a strong jawline that made him look almost mountain man handsome.
Why were first responders all so good-looking?
His eyes were deep brown, almost black, and yet still managed to reflect points of light that made them sparkle.
Ah, it's my pleasure, he said graciously. Noah and I go way back. He's a good guy. He asked for some help, and I was happy to pitch in.
I think he may need to continue this class another night, she said wryly, gesturing to Noah, standing at the front of the room, besieged by the ladies in the garden hats, who were holding out their dummy towards him with pleading eyes. The dummy's head had come right off, and Noah was trying to twist it back into place, like a dad trying to recapitate his daughter's favorite doll.
Yeah, I think going strictly by the book with these ladies is not the best way to go, Sean laughed. I think he could do an entire class on calling 911 alone.
I think you're right, Kate agreed.
Okay, everyone.
Noah called out as the ladies returned to their mat with their fully restored dummy.
He looked so adorable. Her heart went as still as her dummy's. So serious and focused, his brow furrowed as he tried to attach a plastic bag to the air tube snaking down from his dummy's mouth.
Let's do a quick review of the ABCs again. What did we say it stands for?
Airway, breathing, circulation, the room replied.
Sean turned to nod approvingly at Kate.
So far, so good. Right, we need to make sure air can get in before we do anything else, Noah said. So, how do we make sure? Tilt the head back, Bill Peterson yelled out, so they don't swallow their damn tongue.
Right, Noah laughed. Put your hand on the forehead and gently, very gently, tilt the head back.
Everyone did the head tilt. The gardening ladies decapitated their dummy again and slumped in frustration.
Now, if you suspect a spinal injury, we can always do what we call a jaw thrust, but we'll go over that a bit later. Let's make sure we get patent airways, everyone. That just means open. Let's make sure we get nice open airways on all our casualties here.
Noah's gaze fell on Kate and he smiled, and then his smile flickered a little, just a little, as it fell on Sean beside her. He turned his attention quickly back to the room.
All right, everyone, make sure the head is tilted back before you put a breath in, Noah called out. If you don't, you won't inflate the lungs, and the air you're breathing in will go into the stomach. Let's practice blowing into the mouth and inflating your little baggies, okay? If the baggies inflate, you've got it right. Everyone got their baggies attached to the pipe in the dummy?
He shouldn't have bothered with the baggies, Sean said sagely. Rookie mistake. I spent a whole class once just dealing with the stupid baggies.
Make sure you pinch the nose and cover the mouth completely. When you got a good seal, blow gently into the mouth and turn your face to the side so you can watch to see the chest rise. And hopefully, in a real person, feel their breath on your cheek, Noah said, coming out from behind his table.
A chorus of noisy breaths and outright raspberries began, along with some groans of discomfort as the would-be rescuers had to bend down low to put their breaths in. Within seconds, the confused protests began, and Kate sat back with her arms folded, delighted, as she surveyed the class. So many people were talking at once, she could barely figure out who was saying what.
I can't get the air to go in, someone complained. Just blow, Hazel. You're full of hot air. Shouldn't be a problem. Tilt the head back more. Remember what he said. Mrs. J called out. You don't want the stomach to blow up.
The dummies blow up? Oh, I hope these aren't too dear. I don't think the senior center has insurance for this.
The dummies won't blow up.
This was Bill Peterson. At least Kate could be sure of his voice. But you don't want air in the stomach.
Mine doesn't have a stomach. Does yours have a stomach?
What if my bag bursts?
I think my bag has a hole in it. Does anyone know where they keep the dead all around here? I'm not putting my mouth on anything until I know it's clean.
Bill, stop laughing. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Sean turned to Kate and lifted one eyebrow. See what I mean? She laughed, and her heart went out to Noah as he pinched the bridge of his nose and closed his eyes. His eyelids fluttered open again, and he clapped his hands.
Okay, he said brightly. Let's forget the baggies for tonight. Let's just focus on getting a good seal on the nose and the mouth, and putting two short breaths in, okay? Let's see your technique. Head tilt back, nose pinched, yep, good seal around the mouth, and one, two breaths in. Don't breathe too long or too hard, just two puffs.
I'm amazed he's gotten them this far, Sean said, sitting with one knee up, his arm resting casually on it. Although I'm sure the chest compressions are going to be a hoot. Kate smiled at the way he said hoot. It reminded her of Luna, and she realized she hadn't met anyone under 70 who still used that word. It charmed her, she had to admit. But at the same time, she wondered why he wasn't up helping Noah out, or being the float around the room like he'd asked. It didn't seem fair to sit back and watch while Noah struggled to keep the room together. In fact, why wasn't she helping? The thought popped into her head suddenly. She could go around and help the ladies do their head tilts and their breaths and everything else. She made ready to stand up and go over to Noah and offer to help, but Sean turned to her then and spoke.
So, okay, this is a bit sudden, I know, but are you...
She paused and sat back on her haunches, waiting for what he was going to say next. Her direct gaze seemed to fluster him, and he looked down and laughed a little. Am I... she prompted, her heart beginning to beat a little faster. Faster, but not in the good way. Not in the way Noah made her heart beat. In fact, she was almost alarmed, her spidey sense telling her that Sean was about to ask her out.
Ugh, this is such a weird place for this, but I was wondering if...
Hey, Kate, I see you've met Sean here. Noah was suddenly there, looming over them, almost blocking out the light from the overhead fluorescence. He had his arms crossed over his chest, but he was smiling, glancing from Kate to Sean and back again, his eyes assessing.
Yes, she said. She couldn't think of anything else to say. He seems nice. He has a nice beard. He's about to ask me out, but for some reason I just don't want to.
You didn't tell me you had such pretty friends out here in CL, Sean said to Noah, but turned to Kate as he spoke and winked. You should have introduced us.
Sean, could you go help the ladies over there in the corner? They seem to have forgotten the nose pinch.
Noah's tone was even and casual enough, but Kate caught the slight edge of annoyance in it.
Sure thing,
Sean said, and there was an edge of annoyance in his voice, too. He looked down at Kate as he started to walk away.
It was great meeting you, Kate. Maybe we can grab a coffee sometime.
Maybe, she smiled, with emphasis on the last syllable instead of the first. Nice meeting you, too. He glanced over at Noah with a thanks, asshole, smirk, but went over to the ladies in the corner with a charming smile. Noah watched him go and then crouched down in front of Kate, his elbows resting on his knees.
Sorry about that,
he said, his voice lowered so only she could hear him. But I had to warn you about Sean. He's a real player. He's not the kind of guy you want to waste your time with. She looked across the room to where Sean was demonstrating the head tilt for the two giggling ladies. He looked just as charming and engaging with them as he had been with her.
I see, she said. And she actually meant, I can see, as in she could see as plain as day how charming he was.
Noah didn't catch her meaning, though.
I'm trying to look out for you, that's all. I've known him for years. He goes through women like...
She turned back to look at him, and saw such concern in his eyes that she wanted to put her hand on his and reassure him. She wanted to tackle him and kiss him until he needed a head tilt, but she settled for a smile and a playful shake of her head.
I know. It's okay. I'm not into him anyway.
Relief sparked in Noah's eyes, and she could actually see tension releasing from his body. He smiled at her.
Oh, good. I thought you might yell at me for sticking my nose in.
I appreciate the warning, she said. Then, because he looked so cute and so earnest crouching there in front of her, because he was so close and speaking so quietly, she let out a playful little laugh, lowered her voice, and said, I think you're just jealous.
His eyebrows shot up.
Jealous? That guy?
Oh, please.
She nodded, crossing her arms in front of her. I think that's it. I think you're green with jealousy. Admit it, Kincaid. Your caveman side is all in a tizzy.
Honey, he said, lowering his voice to a seductive murmur that sent shivers down her spine. His eyes pinned hers, suddenly dark and almost dangerous. You haven't even seen my caveman side yet. But you will. And it won't be just me that's all in a tizzy.
The jolt of surprise and pleasure and wild excitement that shot through her was almost painful, it was so intense. She forgot to breathe for a moment, feeling about as airless as the dummy between them. She swallowed hard, unable to look away from him, until he took pity on her, and his face broke into a smile, and he reached out to tweak her nose. He actually tweaked it, just once, and laughed.
I better get back to it, he said, pushing himself back up. He looked down at her and winked before returning to the front of the class.
He said something to the room then, she knew that much. She was aware that he was speaking and that the burble of conversation in the room petered out, but she had no idea what he actually said. She could only hear her own heart pounding in her chest, in her ears, in that aching place between her legs. She closed her eyes and dragged in a deep breath, feeling it shudder through her as it went in. For a crazy second, she thought about actually lying down, but given which class she was in, she worried that someone might come over and start blowing in her mouth. That look in his eye, that low, sultry voice, that wink. Dear God, the man knew how to be a sex bomb when he wanted to. And honey? She begged herself not to make too much of it. It was just an expression, after all. He was just being folksy, all sassy and sexy. He didn't mean honey, honey. He didn't mean it like baby or sweetheart or love. She looked up and around, shaking the daze off herself, aware that everyone was getting up off the floor and moving around, carrying mats and dummies towards the front, chatting and laughing. What had happened? Had she lost time? Was the class over? She looked to Noah, who clasped his hands together and spoke loudly to the room. We'll finish part two next week. In the meantime, there's some manuals up here at the front. Please take one. Give it a look over the next week. We'll review rescue breathing and start on chest compressions. Thanks for coming, everyone. Thank yous and words of appreciation rose up from several voices as the ladies and the firefighters began to move towards the double doors. Some ladies stopped by the front table to pick up a manual, some to lay a hand on Noah's arm and express how much fun they'd had and how much they were looking forward to next week.
Sorry to cut this short, he said to one of them, but there's a lot to cover, and we don't want to try to cram it all into one night.
Kate smiled, knowing that this wasn't remotely true. She'd usually taught basic CPR in one afternoon, but with this rowdy bunch, she could easily see it taking a few weeks, maybe even months.
I'm happy to come back, Mrs. Heath said, beaming at him. You and your firemen friends can do this every week, as far as I'm concerned.
The other ladies around them laughed and agreed with her, their faces flushed with girlish delight. The power of a good-looking young man, Kate thought. It could restore youth and vitality better than any face cream. When the firefighters had returned all the dummies to their large duffel bags and gathered up all the mats, the last of the dawdlers followed them out of the room. Their loud, happy voices echoed down the hallway and grew fainter, until it was finally silent in the room. The sudden lack of high-pitched voices and boisterous laughter made the silence feel almost surreal. Only Paige, Callum, and Emma remained, along with Kate and Noah.
"This was the best CPR class I've ever seen," Emma said, shaking her head in wonder. "We have to make this a regular thing."
"I'm actually kind of worried about next week," Callum put in. "God knows what they'll make of the chest thumps, as Mrs. J called them. She went to try them on me."
"Noah will keep them in line, right?"
Paige smiled at her brother. "You did a good job hurting them tonight. I was impressed."
Noah colored and shrugged it off.
"Thanks. It was actually a lot of fun. I can see why you like having their book group at the store."
"You guys should come out one night and be, like, guest speakers."
Paige brightened and turned to Callum. "I bet they'd love to ask questions of a cop and a paramedic."
"I'd be happy to," Callum said, his face flushing. "Anytime."
Silence descended again and verged on the uncomfortable as the five of them stood for a moment, not quite sure what to do next.
"Cal and I were going to grab a bite."
Emma broke the silence and looked around at the other three in turn. "You want to come with?" Kate looked at her watch and flinched.
"I really should get home. I've been relaxing a bit too much lately, and I have a few orders piling up. But next week, for sure."
"I'm starving," Paige said.
"I'll come.
But, oh, wait."
She turned to Kate and blinked. "I'm your ride. You want me to drop you home first?"
"No, don't be silly. You go on," said Kate, brushing the idea away.
"I'll find my way home."
"Are you sure?"
Paige asked.
"I'll walk her back," Noah offered. He turned to Kate to confirm, eyebrows raised.
She swallowed down the butterflies and smiled, shrugging slightly so as not to reveal the little shiver of excitement that was right now dancing along her nerves.
"This is so high school," she admonished herself. "Gee, cute boy, would you walk me home?"
But she didn't care. She absolutely wanted this cute boy to walk her home, and if that made her 15 years old again, she really didn't care. Paige smiled and gave her brother a little side hug.
"Great, thanks. If you're sure you won't join us."
"Go on."
Noah tipped his chin at her. Emma and Callum had moved towards the door and were out of earshot. Or whisper shot, at least. He leaned towards Paige.
"You know they used to go out, right? You better go with them. Make sure they don't rekindle anything."
"Oh, stop it, you!"
Paige batted him, but the color of her face revealed just how on the mark his words had been. Maybe WSP was a real thing after all. Except, Kate mused, Paige's WSP seemed to need a bit of a tune-up when it came to the electricity sparking between her and Noah. So far, Paige had seemed oblivious to the tension between them, somehow missing the looks they exchanged, the color rising in both their cheeks, the way Kate couldn't quite keep her eyes off of Noah whenever he was around. It was a good thing she hadn't noticed, of course. This wasn't a conversation Kate was ready to have with her best friend, but she couldn't really be completely in the dark. Could she? Paige hugged Kate warmly, and maybe just a bit too briefly, before waving at her and Noah and hurrying to catch up with Callum and Emma. Okay, so maybe she was completely in the dark. Kate was both relieved and a little disappointed. If it wasn't obvious to his twin sister, maybe it wasn't obvious to him, or anyone else either. Maybe she, Kate, was the only one noticing all these sparks between them. With just the two of them left standing in the empty room, Kate's eyes found Noah's. She smiled, and he smiled back, and for a moment, the stillness seemed to be waiting for her. Waiting for her to do something, say something, anything, waiting for her to break this almost unbearable tension between them. Or at least, the tension she felt. She tilted her head towards the door in a lighthearted gesture.
"Shall we?"
Noah smiled slowly, his eyes pinning hers.
"We shall."
So it wasn't just her feeling it. Those eyes, that low, raspy voice. Instead of breaking the tension, he had just dialed it up. She swallowed, suddenly, self-conscious, and moved ahead of him towards the doors, her heart thudding. This was ridiculous. She had to settle down. She didn't even know what she was nervous about. She just knew she had to calm the hell down. He switched off the lights and closed the heavy doors behind them, and then gestured for Kate to go first out the revolving glass doors of the center. As she emerged out into the night and heard the whoosh of the door behind her as Noah came through, she let her head fall back and gazed up at the stars. Gradually, her heart slowed as she breathed in the night air, warm and fragrant with cedars and the scent of summer. "I forgot how beautiful the stars are up here," she said, finding the Big Dipper and the bright North Star in the handle. "How clear the skies are at night, without the city lights." She felt Noah come up beside her. "I used to lay on that flat rock just behind the cabin and watch the shooting stars and the satellites. It's really beautiful," he said. When she turned to look at him, he smiled at her. "I'll show you sometime."
"I'd like that," she said.
And she meant it. Sometime. Could be a distant night in the future. It could be tomorrow. It could be never. She'd probably never lay out on that rock with him, but it was nice to think she might. Sometime. He smiled, and they began a slow, comfortable walk back home.